We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
I'm a Christian. Everything is great right now. I'm really involved in my church. I love reading my Bible. I pray all the time, and I share my faith regularly. It really is an honor to be a Christian leader. I praise God for the way He's using me to make a difference in the world. I've been faking it. I made a pretty big mistake, and I feel like I really let God down. I haven't opened my Bible in months, and my prayer life is virtually non-existent. It seems like God doesn't answer my prayers anyway. I try not to think about it, but when I'm honest, I have to admit that I'm really far from God right now.
Coming up later this month, on October 31st, it will not be strange to see people dressed up in unusual ways. In America, there is a day many celebrate called Halloween. You've probably heard about it. Maybe some of you in overseas nations haven't heard about it, but it's a holiday on October 31st where many children and some adults will celebrate by putting on costumes. Some will dress up like Ninja Turtles. Leonardo leads. That's my favorite Ninja Turtle. A Disney princess. I have no opinions on Disney princesses. A monster like Dracula. Or maybe a superhero like, someone named a superhero? Superman. Generic, but it works. All right. What is a costume? This holiday and this site is a bunch of people putting on costumes. So what is a costume? We're going to define it for our series for the rest of the way. A costume is something you wear that hides your true identity. A costume is something you wear that hides your true identity. By putting on a mask, by putting on a cape, by putting on a costume, they portray a different identity. Right. In our home, all we hear about every day is William Worth wants to be Super Mario, and he insists that I be Luigi, and he has like assigned all of our characters. I think our dog is Bowser or something. I don't understand, but he's really into it. He can't wait for it. The other day we were at a birthday party, he insisted that they face paint his face Mario, and he just went around going, "It's a me, Mario." Have you ever dressed up in a costume?
Yes.
Have you ever done that? Text us on your anonymous line. I want to know what your favorite costume was, or perhaps the worst costume you ever had growing up. Our text number is 214-856-0550. If you have no opinion on costumes, you can always text us your favorite Halloween candy, because we might make it rain that Halloween candy. So text it in. 214-856-0550. We want to know what your favorite costume was. Save this text line also. This text line number, it's anonymous. And we want you to feel free to ask us your questions about faith, your questions about life, or even your questions about Redemption Church. And all safely, anonymously. It is normal to wear costumes on Halloween. Nobody's going to call the cops if somebody is walking down the street wearing a costume on Halloween. Any other time of the year, you get some askew looks. You get some weird looks. I remember one year we had Sunday fell on Halloween, and a person that we will not name showed up as one of their favorite comic book characters, and they have an obscure comic book character, and this person that's not named showed up as the Flaming Carrot, and it changed the history of Redemption Church when he showed up that way. When you show up on Halloween wearing a costume, nobody talks twice, but any other day of the year, people are like, okay, this person has lost it. This person is crazy. I want to remind you that a costume is something you wear that hides your true identity. And for some reason, we've said in our culture that it's okay to do that on October 31st. But when someone shows up in a convenience store wearing a mask, they call the cops, right? It shows up in a bank. If someone showed up right here wearing a ski mask and fake guns, we would not be having no part of that. No, sir. All right. The truth is that we often wear costumes to disguise our identity throughout the year. Not just on October 31st. I want to talk about that over this month. Next week, I want to talk to you about self-deception. The worst kind of deception is when you deceive yourself. Sometimes we wear the costume so long, we forget that it's not our true identity. We start taking on that as our identity. We forget that we can actually take off the costume, all right? Self-deception. We're going to preach on the third week, financial fakers. Our society is filled with financial fakers who put up a facade of having material gain in order to mask the emptiness in their own life. We need you to be here for that. And we want to also talk to you about hiding the shame and the hurt. We hide our shame and hurt behind these costumes. But they are never truly healed until we take those costumes off and expose the hurt. Can I get an amen? So if you can't make it for the whole series, I just gave it to you, but we want you to be here. Chances are very good that you've become very good at wearing costumes. You might say, oh, no, not I, Pastor Chris. Well, then you should come next week for self-deception. All right. But I want to share with you some of my costumes. Can I share with you some of my costumes? Sometimes I go around and people find out I'm a pastor. And so, you know, Pastor Chris just has to carry around his costume. Does this actually come out? Yes. All right, good job. So I walk around, I'm like, ha ha, I'm a pastor. Oh, that was a funny joke, but I will not laugh at such things because you are standing in the presence of Holy Chris. And that's my costume right there. Other people have struggles, but not Holy Chris. Other people are tempted in those ways, but not I. No, I go to church. I'm a Christian. I quote from the King James Bible. Holy Chris. Holy Chris. Anybody ever wear a holy costume? Yeah. And you walk around and go, oh, this is my identity. I've got a WWJD bracelet on. I've got to be a Christian. I've got a bumper sticker that says my boss is a Jewish carpenter. We walk around, and that is our identity, our costume that we hide behind. Meanwhile, inside, we might be saying, I don't pray enough. You saw that video that we opened up with. I don't pray enough. I don't read my Bible enough. I haven't witnessed to someone in years. But let's not talk about that. You're in the presence of Holy Chris. Everybody got my drift? You got me on that? That's Holy Chris. Let's see who else we got over here. We've got Funny Chris. When things are going really bad, when things are really sour, and somebody comes up and they says, hey, how you doing? I say, hey, have you heard the joke about Eutychus in the Bible? Any chance to bring out Eutychus? Eutychus too, if you fell out of that window. I put on this one, and I smile, and I'm happy. I'm a happy Chris. I'm a funny Chris. What a fun guy to be around. Who cares? I might have depression in my heart. Who cares that I might be worried, sick? No, we don't have time for that. Because if someone knew I was worried about a problem, there might be something wrong with me. Instead, I'm a wild and crazy guy. Let's get this party started. Why aren't you laughing? That's funny, Chris. Constantly, we see someone in the news, they've committed suicide. How in the world did Robin Williams commit suicide? How in the world was that there? He was such a funny guy. How did a guy named Junior Seau, he was a jock. My goodness, I wish I had the athletic ability of that linebacker, Junior Seau. He's in the Hall of Fame, but he didn't get to stand on that stage and receive that award because he killed himself. How could that have happened? You were looking at the costume and there was hurt hiding behind it. There are people all over the place. They've got all this success. They've got the new cool fancy car. They've got the new cool fancy cell phone. But behind the disguise is debt. Behind the disguise is worry. Behind the disguise on those fancy phones, they are fielding far too many calls from you know who. Collection agencies, costumes hide true identity. Sometimes we get into situations where we wear multiple costumes. You want to talk about things getting really complicated? Well, I'm about to show you. In a single day, you could hang out with different people in your life that you have different costumes for. High school and college, your school, this is definitely that way. You know what I'm talking about. And your work can be that way. Sometimes even your friends and your family can be that way. And when you get them all together in a single day, you're having to change costumes over and over. It gets really complex because at school, maybe you're this guy. You're this guy at school. But you know what? At school, you've also got some friends that go to church with you. And that's really complex. So now we're having to go, oh, now I got to get, but wait, later I've got to go over here. And also I'm funny guy. And so I am trying to wear all this stuff. Oh, and I'm smart too. How can I put all of this together? Many of you have heard this testimony. I'll tell it again. I was in ninth grade and I had it all figured out. I had school Chris and I had church Chris. I had holy Chris. He went to church. He worked at church. He did ministry at church. He never missed a church service. He never missed a prayer meeting or a youth service. He was always there. But holy Chris didn't show up where school Chris showed up. This guy, I had it all figured out that I've had two different Chris's that would show up at two different places. And several times I got caught in a situation where holy Chris and successful Chris had to be in the same place at the same time. You've ever seen a comedy like, this is one of my least favorite comedic cliches that always happens. It's in the movie Miss Doubtfire and several things where you've got one person that has to be two different characters in the same room and they keep going in and out and it's like, I am male Robin Williams and now I'm, hello, I'm Miss Doubtfire and going back and forth and it's ridiculous and it's crazy. You're like, oh, this is painful to watch. It's painful to live in real life. I had a friend at school named Linus, and he wanted to play tennis with me. So, all right, hang out with Jock Chris. Let's go play some tennis. Let's go do it. So we go do that. And then my dad, after we play tennis, he picks us up. I'm about 15 years old. And then my dad says, hey, Linus, you ought to go with us to church. And it was like, what just happened? I heard alarm sirens going off. Woo! The danger. That was a terrible alarm. Sorry. It was awful. At that moment, I was scared to death because, oh my gosh, how am I going to be these two different people? You see, Holy Chris didn't show up at school because he might want to curse one day to impress somebody. He might want to lie and cheat on a test. He might want to do something that Holy Chris, it's not okay. So it's better if we leave these two separate. And then my dad went and he made my worlds collide. And I had to decide, you know what? I need to stop. And I took off a costume. I wouldn't be here today had I not decided to just stop a costume and let Jesus be the Lord of all my life, not be a costume that I put on and take off. No more Holy Chris. There is the Chris that was found in Jesus, and he is a sinner saved by grace, and the Lord's constantly working on his life. It is confusing. It is complex. It is not pleasant to try to keep up with appearances. Right. It's not easy. Life is a whole lot simpler without masks. Yes. I'm a lot happier. What I found out was that I actually had a lot more friends and a lot more influence in people's lives when I was the real and the same in every situation. And I found that the Lord could move in my life in ways I didn't even know possible. Wouldn't it be easier? Wouldn't it be happier? Wouldn't it be more fulfilling if we could get rid of the costumes and be who God has always called us to be. I'm here to tell you yes, because God created this whole world. He created the whole world without costumes. Of all the things he created in the book of Genesis. In Genesis, we'll read about God's good creation. Everything he creates, he looks at it. He says it's good. He looks at man and woman. He says it's very good. He creates light. He created dry land. He created stars. He created animals. He created man and woman. All of it good. But we don't see one place where he created costumes. We don't see one place where he created a need to hide one's true identity. Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." Verse 24. "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. They will become how many? One flesh." Genesis 2, 25. "The man and his wife were both," say it,
"naked
and felt no
shame."
They were naked and felt no shame. Have you ever had a dream where you're at school with no clothes? You never had that dream, Ron. You are blessed and highly favored, because I can't stand that dream. That's the worst dream. Can I get an amen in the house of God? That is the worst dream. Oh my gosh, not again. Not this dream again. And I'm trying my best to get out of this dream. How do I get? I even know that it's a dream by now, but it doesn't matter. It's just horrifying. It's terrible. It's embarrassing. You're just begging for the nightmare to end. Is there a way I can get in my brain somehow and turn this dream off? Anything but this dream. I remember the first time I had that dream, I purposed in my heart I would never accidentally leave the house without my clothes on. I'm going to make sure that never happens, because it was terrible in my dream. And for some reason, I couldn't run very well. It's like one of these, like, oh, great. I'm naked and clumsy. All right. In Genesis 2, Adam and Eve had no pants. You can quote me on that. Genesis 2, they had no clothes. But it wasn't a nightmare. They weren't scared to death. They weren't saying, oh gosh, not again. Oh no, don't look at me. None of that was happening. It wasn't a nightmare, because there was no shame. There was no embarrassment. There was no reason to hide. There was no awkwardness. And you and I, we can't even relate to that. This is the world that God created, and it didn't have costumes. They were naked, yet they felt no shame. Before sin, there was no shame. You see, shame didn't come about. Your fear didn't come about. Your embarrassment didn't come about until after sin. The Hebrew word for shame is bush. Going to learn some Hebrew today. They were naked and felt no bush. They felt no shame. This word means to be ashamed. It means to be disappointed. It means to be confused or to become dry. The world that God created had no bush in it. It had no shame. It had no disappointment. Can you imagine a world without disappointment? Anytime someone gives God a bad rap, you remember this. He created a world without disappointment, Dwight. Yeah. He created a world without confusion.
Amen.
He created a world that not dried up and wilting and dying.
Yes.
He created a world with nothing less than full life and vitality in every part of their life, in their mental health, in their spiritual health, in their physical health, in their relational health. Every bit of it was full of life and vitality. No bush, no dryness and wilting and dying. This state that God created everything in, it created all, it was over all of creation. It was over Adam and Eve. They felt none of these things. It covered who they were. It covered their relationship with each other. And it covered their relationship with God. You see, there was no shame. There was no bush. There were no reasons to hide. There were no games. There were no divorce lawyers. There were no costumes. But then the evil one came. He came in the form of a
serpent.
Good job. Somewhere a Sunday school teacher is smiling. He came in the form of a serpent, and he tempted who first?
Eve.
He tempted Eve first. He convinced her that God's word was less than true. Be careful, someone that tries to convince you that God's word is less than true. It's usually the evil one. He convinced her that God's word was less than true and to eat of the tree of knowledge. The serpent came along and he questioned God. This is how we worked. This is how we still works. Did God really say that? Are you sure that he said that? Really? He said that? Which is what our spiritual enemy does over and over. Did God really say, I mean, is it really going to hurt you that much if you just eat this? Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. And look what happened. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. They were naked. But is that any different? Is the difference that they were suddenly naked? No. We've already read they were naked and felt no shame. See, notice the difference here. Genesis 2:25, come back and look. The man and his wife were both naked and felt no shame. They were naked but not ashamed. They weren't afraid. They didn't panic. They didn't seek the same change the situation in Genesis 2:25. They didn't seek to change each other. They didn't look at each other's nakedness and say, no, I would change this about you. No, you've got these flaws in your life. No, you're wrong in these areas. None of that, because that's shame. They were naked, but can I tell you, they were accepted.
Yes.
I tell you, people are looking for a lot of stuff, but what they're really looking for is to be accepted by a person. Why do you think I wore all this stuff? I wanted to be accepted. I still find myself trying on things. This won't work. Is there some way I can get that person to like me? Because that person liking me is the most important thing I can think of. See, people are looking to be accepted. Could it be that they aren't doing drugs because they're an evil person? Could it be that they speak the way they do, not because they're an idiot? Could it be that they've traveled down a road saying, who will accept me? When the greatest horror of all is that they've never come to realize that they're accepted by God already in their nakedness. So Adam and Eve, they were naked. Back to Genesis 3:7, the eyes of them were both open. They realized they were naked. See, they were naked. This never changed in the situation. But their eyes being opened to themselves, their eyes being opened to each other, that's what changed everything. Nothing can hurt you more than someone's eyes being open to you and then followed by their mouth being open to you, telling you what they think of you. Cause a lot of pain. How they saw themselves, that all was open. How they saw each other, all of that changed. They began to judge themselves and to judge each other. Mankind has never changed from that moment. And they panicked. They freaked out. They were fearful and attempted to cover themselves. Oh my gosh, I've got to change myself. I'm not good the way I am. I'm not accepted. You won't accept me. I won't accept me. No one will accept me the way I am. I've got to change something about me. Is there something around here I can cover myself with? Maybe religion, maybe funniness, maybe whatever it is, I'll spend anything I have to cover myself. They sewed fig leaves together to hide their true identity. And this is mankind's first costume.
Yeah.
They tried to hide their nakedness. Sin brings shame. Shame brings the desire to hide. And then we create costumes. Jesus in the New Testament seemed to be harder on one group of people than any other group of people. That group of people was was hypocrites. If there was a sinner who was honest, oh, Jesus was so good to them, so just loving towards them. Jesus showed them love and grace. Jesus healed them. There were sick people. Jesus got down and touched sick people, which was a no in that culture. How dare you touch a sick person? You're going to get sick. But no, Jesus had power flow out of them himself and heal them. But when it came to hypocrites, he treated them very directly. He even called them names. You can look it up. Jesus called them names. Jesus sometimes seemed like he was even being mean to people that were hypocrites. The Greek word for hypocrites is hypokritos. Hypokritos. We're going to learn Greek now. It was literally this word that was used to describe the actors in Greek plays. This word means an actor playing a role, someone wearing a costume to misrepresent reality. A hypocrite is somebody who puts on a costume to change the reality and their identity. It wasn't that Jesus was being mean to hypocrites, by the way, because he died on the cross for hypocrites. He was trying to get them to take their costume off. He was trying to let them know, I see through your costume. Stop lying to others. Stop lying to yourself. Stop trying to hide behind the mask. Why the costume? Why did Adam and Eve hide behind the fig leaves? Why the play acting hypocrisy? Why do we do that? Oh yeah. Why do we do that? Why do we try to cover ourselves in a false reality?
Our spiritual enemy is very strategic in leading people to live a life of hiding. It typically starts when you experience something deeply painful or sinful. Perhaps you do something wrong that leads to shame, or you're a victim. Someone does something to you and it leads to shame. It typically starts when you experience something deeply painful or sinful.
When we got married, I was sure it would last forever. I never thought I'd end up divorced.
When I lost my job, I felt like my whole world was falling apart. I've always paid my bills. I can't believe I filed bankruptcy.
My dad molested me when I was a little girl. I don't know if I'll ever get over it.
Next, you tend to connect what happened with who you are. You confuse an action with your identity. You wrongly think what you did or what someone did to you is your identity. And unfortunately, you connect what happened with who you are.
I hate that I'm divorced. I just couldn't hold it together and I let everyone down. I'm just not good enough for anyone.
How can I face anyone after filing bankruptcy? I'm such a failure.
But why did this have to happen to me? I just feel so dirty. I feel like it was my fault.
Sadly, because you experience something deeply painful or sinful, you often wrongly connect what happened with who you are. Then you believe the only way to be safe is to hide.
I keep myself busy and I try not to think about it. Most people think I'm doing okay. They have no idea I'm falling apart.
I smile and pretend that everything is okay. Even my wife doesn't know I thought about ending it all.
I go out and have a good time and pretend that I'm fine. No one knows that inside, I'll always be ashamed and afraid.
We think, if you knew the real me, if you knew how insecure I was, if you knew how sinful I am, if you knew the kind of things I was doing, if you knew how unworthy I feel, if you knew how dumb I feel, If you knew that I just feel completely inept and unable. If you could, you probably wouldn't love me if you thought those things. If you knew, if you could see, you probably wouldn't love me. After all I've done, I know I'm a bad person. The only thing I can do is hide. Satan, our spiritual enemy, has been defeating us with this game of shame. He's done it ever since the Garden of Eden. He's still trying to beat you with his game of shame. So why the costume? Why did Adam and Eve seek to hide? Why do you seek to hide? You know, people that are in trouble and you want to help them. You know people in trouble and you think, oh, those people are in trouble. I would like to help them. They need to see this about themselves. They need to know this about themselves. But you don't see them ever changing because they're hiding behind something. They're hiding behind excuses. They're hiding behind situations. They're hiding behind their schedule. They're hiding behind just, well, you just don't understand. I'm busy all the time, so I can't change this about my life. They're hiding behind fake costumes. You know these people. Have you experienced something painful or shameful? Is that you? Can I tell you, you don't need to hide. What you need is healing. Hiding doesn't bring healing. Do you connect with what you did? You connect what you did with who you are? And that becomes who you are. I was divorced. Well, now I'm a divorcee. I lied. Now I'm a liar. I was bankrupt. I declared bankruptcy, so I'm a failure. You need to know that you don't need to hide the real you. The real you is valuable. The real you is loved. The real you is exactly who God loves. The real you is who Christ died for. While you were yet sinners, not the costume, not while you were pretending not to be a sinner, while you were yet sinners, caught in the act of adultery, just like the woman, that is the moment he bends down, gets on your level, gets his hands in the dirt, and rescues you. The real you is worth forgiving, Jesus says. The real you. Do not define yourself by your past actions. Do not define yourself by what others say about you. Define yourself by what God says about you. The Bible talks about Jesus. The Bible talks about creation. The Bible talks about heaven. But the Bible also talks about you. He says that you are his beloved. He says that you can do all things. He says that you're more than an overcomer through him that loves you. He says a lot of stuff about you in his word. Do you believe that the only way to be safe is to be hiding? Is that the only way to be safe? Do you feel actually safe in that costume? Do you really feel like it's fooling anyone? Because if you're anything like me, you knew it wasn't. I want to tell you today, I really want you to get this, that your life is better without the costume. Your life is better without the charade. Your life, that God has a life for you that's better than fig leaves sewn together. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? You see, you can get people to believe that Jesus loves them and died on the cross for them, but sometimes you can't get people to let go of stuff. No, I need this. Can you let it go? Can you believe that the God that died for you, can you believe that the Lord that gave his life for you and you as a little child wept and cried and you understood that Jesus loved you? Do you understand that that same Jesus wants to come to the adult you and rescue you from this stuff? He wants to do it. He wants to do it. Is your life better with peace?
Yeah.
Is your life better with love?
Jesus.
Is your life better with all the shame being taken away? Yeah. Is your life better without fear?
Yes.
Is your life better without having to keep up a lie? Yeah. Of course it is. It is exhausting trying to keep up the masquerade. You need to decide that you want to take off the costume today. God has a better life for you than this. The question is, can you trust him? Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord. Now wait, have you ever done something wrong? And you're like, oh my gosh, you're at the scene of the crime. No one can know about this. Oh my goodness. Did you hear something? Oh my gosh, you broke something in your home. You hear something at the door. Oh, I think I heard them. They're here. This is their situation. The man and the wife heard the sound of, I heard something. Oh my gosh, it's him. It's him. He's coming. He's coming. This is our last moment. This is where we die. This is what's going through their heart. Do you see this? Do you see this? You know about this. You did it as a child. Oh no, I heard it. And now I'm going to be caught right in the middle of this. It's terrible. They heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. You see, he wasn't coming with a sword in hand. He wasn't coming to kill. He was actually coming, as he always did, to walk in relationship with them.
Yeah.
And what did they do? They said, oh, thank goodness it's the Lord and he loves us.
No.
Oh, thank goodness it's the Lord and he's done nothing but good for us. No, that's what we ought to do, right? But no, wait, we don't ever do that. They hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. You talk about a sophisticated strategy. We got fig leaves sown. Let's hide behind that tree. Brilliant, brilliant. He'll never find us. We'll just have to wait for all eternity, but we'll just hide the rest of eternity. He'll never find us, right? We'll just wait God out. He'll forget about us. Sin brought shame and fear. It drove the man and woman into hiding behind fig leaves and now hiding behind trees. I want to tell you today that we hide. We do it often. But here's what you need to know. He seeks. This important relationship Adam and Eve had with the Creator. Is there a more important relationship than the one you have with the Creator? I don't think so. This important relationship, they were willing to throw it all away to hide from him. I believe they would have hid forever. Your costume will cause you to throw away the most important relationships in your life. You go ahead, wear that costume all the way to the divorce court, because it's going to cost you your marriage. You just wear that costume, it'll cost you your friends. It'll cost you respect. It will cost you your family. What is it going to cost you when your kids find out that you've been hiding behind that flimsy thing for so long? It will cost you a relationship with God. If you don't confess your sin, if you're always hiding your sin, he can't forgive your sin. What is it going to cost you? It's not worth it. Look, somebody say, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Adam and Eve hid, but God sought them out. We read about it in the very next verse, Genesis 3:9. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? Where are you? Did God not know where they were? Do you think that God didn't know? Man, they've got, I can't see past those fig leaves. Where are they? God is omniscient. That means he knows everything. God is omnipresent. That means he is everywhere. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. It doesn't matter if you are wicked or good. God's eyes are on you. Let's hide behind this tree. Seems good. Good idea, right? No, the eyes of the Lord are there. The eyes of the Lord are behind your costume. The eyes of the Lord are beyond your lies. You aren't fooling him. God knew exactly where they were. God absolutely knew where they were, even though they hid. You may be hiding in a costume today. Can I tell you, the eyes of the Lord are not fooled. You might have everyone else fooled, but you do not have God fooled. God knows exactly where you are. But yet God asks, where are you? This God who knew where Adam and Eve absolutely were. This God who absolutely knew what they had done asks the question, where are you? Later he asks them, who told you to eat the tree? He asks them all these questions. What's up with the line of questioning? God who knows everything? Is he being sarcastic or does he have a point? I want to tell you today that God has a point. God has a reason. God wants you to reveal yourself. God could say, I know you're over there. God could say, I know what you did. Hey, guys, I'm here. Gig's up. He doesn't do that. He calls out to see if someone will hear his call and respond in revealing themselves. That's how God always works. That's how God works. You see, God doesn't come with a sword and chops your head off. No, God calls out, where are you? What are you doing? Who told you to do this? Who told you that you were naked? Who said that about you? These are the things that God says. These are not the things we think God is going to say. But these are the things he does say. God wanted Adam and Eve to reveal themselves. He wanted them to take off their costumes. He wanted them to step out from the tree and say, here I am. Here's what I've done. Because if they confess, that's where forgiveness comes. What does God want you to do? He wants you to reveal yourself, take the costume off, confess. And that's when he forgives you. That's when he restores you. If any man will confess his sin, God is faithful and just to forgive them and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. That's the God we serve. But he's going to call out. He's going to call out, where are you? Some of you, you come to church, you feel that tugging on your heart. You don't know what that is. You don't know what's going on. It's like the word of God spoke to you and you just, I don't know if I'm supposed to do anything with it. Oh yeah, you're supposed to do something with it. It's the Lord saying, where are you? What are you doing? Are you ready? Are you ready for change? God wanted them and he wants us today to reveal ourselves, to take off the costumes and to confess. Are you ready to take that costume off? Here is what happens when you reveal yourself to God. It's Genesis 3:21. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. God did not strike them dead. God did not make fun of them. God did not leave them like he found them. They were naked and afraid, so what did he do? He covered them. Don't be afraid. God will cover you.
He will cover you. Yes, God.
Amen.
As we come together, we're gonna talk to God at this altar. I want us to come with this focus. Could you stand on your feet? I want us to pray today with this scripture as our focus. It's Psalm 139, verse 23 through 24. It's our scripture memory verse. I want you to read it with me. Psalm 139, 23. Read it out loud. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. If you know what goes on at the end of service today at Redemption, these altars are already open for you. We'd love to pray with you. If you don't know, I want to tell you. We do three things every time we come together. We worship God together, we receive the word of God together, and we talk to God together. However you feel comfortable doing that, if you feel like you want to do that at your seat, you go ahead. But I would like to encourage you today to take a step from your seat, to step out and to say, like Adam did, here I am, I'm right here, God, I'm right here, and ask God to cover you. like the scripture we just read. Ask God to search your heart, to know your heart. God, look past all of my subterfuge, all of my hiding, all of my costumes. I lay them down. You look and look me over. Look who I really am. And God, cover me with your grace and your mercy and your love. If you need special prayer in this house, I want to tell you, you've got a God who will meet your need. If you just come in the first 2 feet, we will pray with you. That lets us know to pray with you. If you don't come in the first 2 feet, no one messes with you. But let's talk to God today. Let's ask the Lord to meet us and to save us. God, Lord, we love you. Lord, we're tired of the games and we're tired of the costumes. Lord, we want to be real people. We want to be real people with your real love, God. And Lord, we want to stop trying to make people think we're one way when we're really another way. We're tired of being the actors, the hypocrites, God. Lord, we're tired of the shame and the fear, God. Lord, we believe that you can clothe us just like you clothed Adam and Eve. God, come and heal us. God, come and take us. We pray all of this.